Morning, church. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has called us all, each one, to be here today to celebrate Palm Sunday, to have some fun with the kids, with some palms, and to remember a joyous occasion. Jesus coming into Jerusalem triumphantly, riding upon not a conquering war horse, but upon a humble donkey as a symbol of his entry into the kingdom, a symbol of his entry, not as the conqueror, but as the Prince of Peace. We celebrate this day today, and we are joyful, and as Beth said, like the Stanley Cup champions. I was at that parade, and Barb was with me, and we had a good time, and we celebrated, but it wasn't enough. And we want to go next year. You know, we want to go again. We want to experience that moment. So we celebrate Palm Sunday year after year, remembering that moment when Jesus entered triumphantly. Not only looking back to a moment when Jesus walked physically on the earth, but looking ahead to the future when Christ will come again in final victory and make that march into Jerusalem, not to be crucified, but to be glorified. Glory to God. Let's go together in the scriptures to the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, beginning with the first verse. And I invite you to allow the Holy Spirit to use these words to speak to your heart today. However that is, whether it is by knowledge, whether it is by the Spirit, these words are inspired. And they will speak to us just as they spoke to the people at the time they were written. Hear them. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up the scroll and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase in knowledge. Jesus is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray, friends. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. We have heard your words from the book of Daniel. We receive them by your Holy Spirit. Now, share with us your word, not my word, God. Who cares? Share with us a word that comes from you, that we might increase, not in knowledge, but in wisdom, as we grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Daniel's a complicated book. Daniel's a book that spans a lot of time. In fact, Daniel goes beyond its own time and extends into eternity and speaks of things that will be and things that are to come and things that have confused and confounded scholars for millennia. It's a complicated book. And it is by the Holy Spirit that we receive it. But our human minds can't process many of the things that are found in Daniel. Oh, we can try and we can come up with some good explanations for the mysteries of Daniel, the same way that we as a church have wrestled for millennia with the words found in Revelation. How in the world do we make sense of these things that are to come in our human minds? I can't fathom it. There are many people who have tried, many people who have written entire novels about how will the end come? What will happen at the end times? Jesus' disciples, before he made that triumphal entry into Jerusalem, they asked him, tell us about the end. Tell us about what will happen. And Jesus spoke similar to Daniel, how there will be fire and smoke and great wars and rumors of wars and so many things that are going to take place. We always want to know what's going to happen before it does. That's our human nature. We want to know what's going to happen sometime in the future. People have made lots and lots of money out of trying to figure out what will happen in the future. In fact, if you're really good at it, and you know how to read the signs of our stock market and our economy, you can figure out before anybody else what company is going to make more money than the other and put your money there. Anybody invest in Apple back in the 70s? Nobody here? Yeah, because, you know, if we did, we would have lots and lots of money right now, wouldn't we? If we invested in IBM back in the 60s, if we invested our money in, you know, those companies, if we'd have known, someone had just told us which of those companies was going to become a billion-dollar corporation. I remember in the early or mid-90s, this company called Google. And I wish I'd have realized that Google would become this humongous company that now makes billions and billions of dollars. I could have been rich. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody. But no, I didn't realize. And anybody here invest in Google before it became big? No, we all missed it. We all missed the signs that this was the company that was going to become the monster, the billion-dollar industry. We all missed the signs that Apple or IBM and very, very early, long time ago, Ford or Chevy, all of those big companies would become what they became. And that's who we are as humans. We don't have the capacity to look into the future and see what's coming. Only God can do that. And God sometimes chooses to reveal some things about what is to come, but it's confusing to us because we don't have the capacity to understand it with our human minds. And sometimes the Spirit will give us some wisdom, but it's still really hard to figure out the events that are to come. Oh, we're curious about them, but it takes some time. This is no different than the triumphal entry into Jerusalem for the Jewish people. Jesus knew exactly why he was going to Jerusalem. He was going to Jerusalem to give up his life so that all those people could live with him for all eternity. He was going to give his life because he had in his mind the church, the future. He knew it. He knew it more clearly than we know the present. And he knew each one of us. He knew us by name. And we were on his mind as he was making that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. You ever think about that? That Jesus, as he was going into that city, might have been thinking about you on that day. Thinking about your redemption, your forgiveness of sins, your future with him in the heavenly kingdom. That's the kind of God we serve. As he was making his way in to Jerusalem and the people were singing and waving those palm branches and throwing them in the street and proclaiming him, but they missed what Jesus was coming to do. They missed the signs. They couldn't interpret the future, and they thought that Jesus had come into Jerusalem to set them free from Roman oppression, to set them free from earthly kings and powers. They thought that Jesus had come into that kingdom, come into that city to set up a new kingdom on earth, one that would have no end. But they missed the signs. They misinterpreted the future of what was to come. They thought that Jesus was coming to build an earthly kingdom. But Jesus was coming for something far greater than that. He was coming to save the souls of the people who were waving those palm branches. He came to save the souls of the people in the church that he saw in the future, that he knew would be waving palm branches in churches all across the world today. And all throughout our history, 2,000 years, Jesus saw that. But the people missed it. And it's easy for us to look back at it now and say, how could they have missed the signs? How could they have missed the obviousness of what Jesus was doing? But friends, how many of you invested in Google? You know, how many of you invested in Apple? How many of you invested in IBM? If we had been in that crowd that day, we would have waved the palm branches and thought, here comes the one who's going to set us free from the Roman oppression. Just like them, we are no different. And we are the same ones who by Friday, who were waving branches one day, would have said, crucify him on Friday. It's human nature. We haven't changed a bit. And in 2,000 years, we may have increased in knowledge, as Daniel talks about. We have the capacity to do things with our minds, with our technology, that would make us unimaginable to people who lived in Jesus' day. But what do we do with it? What do we do with all that knowledge that we have? What do we do with all of that technology that we have? Do we serve Jesus, or do we serve ourselves with what we have? We're knowledgeable, but are we wise? Are we wise to what Jesus is doing in the world? Boy, I wish I'd have invested in Google when it was just a tiny little company. I wish I'd have said, wow, that's the company that I want to put my money in and seen it grow to a $1 billion business. But I missed the signs. The people waving those palm branches, I'm sure, never thought that by Friday they'd be seeing that man that they proclaimed king on a cross by the end of the week. But Jesus did. And Jesus knew, because they could not have killed Jesus. He was a sinless man. His life could not be taken from him. The wages of sin is death. Jesus had no sin. Therefore, Jesus could not die unless he gave his life, which is exactly what he did. All of the behind the scenes scheming that the people were doing to plot Jesus' death, he knew before they knew exactly what they would do. And he allowed that to take place so that he could give his life exactly as he did on a cross, which was a sign of a curse in the Jewish custom, so that he could take the curse of sin upon himself, so that we could have his gift of righteousness upon our own selves, not by any works that we can do, but entirely given to us by Jesus. Why? Why? Could it be that God loves us so much that he was willing to give his life so that we might live with him not only upon our days on the earth, but so that he might gather us home, no matter the condition of our body, to give us new life, even if we are dust and ashes and atoms, to breathe into that remains of us new life, so that we might live with him for all eternity? Does God love us that much? I think the answer is obvious. He was willing to go all the way. He was willing to give his life as a ransom for many, so that we might be with him for eternity. What a mighty God we serve. And yet, knowing all that, by the end of the week, it was not palm branches in the air. It was crucify him. Crucify him. We are so easily swayed away from the goodness of God. If we had been in that crowd, we would have been no different. During this week, as we lead from this moment of celebration of Jesus' triumphal entry, looking forward to his triumphal entry in the future, reflect upon yourself. Jesus was willing to go to the cross and give his life for you and you and me because he loves you. That's the depth of his love. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.